Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives. We have my co-host here, Anna.
Hello.
Hey, and we got Blake Barris on for everybody. Hi, Blake.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Hello. We're so excited you're coming back to the show.
Hello?
Hi.
We can hear you.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, I'm very excited as well.
And you said you think you'll be back about the end of August? Is that right, around there?
Yeah, I think they said it's going to be somewhere toward the end of the summer, and I think it's, right at the end of August.
Right. What brings Nick back to Salem? Last I read, he was supposed to be in prison. Which day?
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not allowed to give too much away from the storyline, but basically, you know, he went to jail for killing Trent, who is supposedly Melanie's father, and has been in jail all the time, and he's you know, when you see him again, he's still in jail, so... And so, and he's kind of awaiting a parole hearing. You guys will have to see where that goes.
And we were wondering if he was absolved of all wrongdoing or what. So, that's cool, though. So there will be some court action or jail action or something.
Yeah.
And I know you can't give too much away, darn it.
But I think that's an interesting way to pick it up, though, because when I was going through Nick's history, you forget stuff. I did watch your entire run. He was supposed to be in jail for at least 2.5 years. So
right.
I think that's a neat way to pick it up. I know you can't talk to it. Is Nick still Nick, or is he kind of in a darker place because of his experiences in jail?
I think that's going to have to be for people to decide, for the viewers to decide. I mean, I'll say this, I don't think you can go through an experience in a correctional system without having that affect you in some profound way.
Right.
So, I think what's always been cool to me about Nick is that there's a lot of lightness, and there's also that darkness. And
right.
So I think that's why I find him such a fun and interesting character to play, is that, you know, I kind of get to explore both of those. So we'll see where it goes.
Ooh, that sounds intriguing. we want to see you shoot for another Emmy nomination. This would be awesome.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Like,
yeah, that would be super
like
exciting.
Some good material. Like,
yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. They're doing a really good job with the way they're writing it.
Well, hey, they're honoring the history because at least they remembered you were in jail. You know? It was daytime, you know, it's not always the case that they remember history, so at least they're picking up,
you know,
sometimes somebody will come back and they're totally, you know, they were off doing volunteer work or something, you know, instead of community service.
Right, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not what was going on.
Right,
it's a lot of fun to be back, and, you know, there's a lot of new faces, but a lot of the same faces, and it's just been super fun to return to, you know, a character that I, you know, basically, you know, kind of, you know, let go of whatever, I guess it was three, you know, like 3 years ago.
Gosh, it's been 3 years. You're right. Wow.
Well,
wow. And it was such a heavy, heavy story when you left. It was like a lot of.
I know. I got to say, though, I mean, I know some people, you know, people had mixed reactions to where they took Nick. I personally, as an actor, had a blast kind of taking him because I kind of felt like, you know, he had so much energy when he first came on the show, and then and I thought the storyline with Billy was awesome.
There you go.
And then,
who wouldn't? I mean, did you hit, feel like you hit the pay dirt there? Julie Pinson? I mean, Julie Pinson.
I know, right? You can't do much better. Exactly. Exactly. But then there was kind of a while where I just felt like Nick kind of lost his backbone and kind of became, you know,
yes.
You know, just kind of like following Chelsea around and didn't have much juice. And then they gave him, you know, that you know, kind of turn for the worse. And that to me was something as an actor that really gave me a chance to sink my teeth into something and have some fun.
So you like the dark stuff. You don't think that maybe they made Nick too dark. Sirius is kind of, in the beginning, he's this happy-go-lucky, geeky guy, mm-hmm. having puppy love with Chelsea. And then, within a few years, he's killed two people, and he's kind of acting stalkerish and has a runaway marriage and stepkids. And, I mean, Nick's been through a lot.
Yeah, they certainly... They kept me and I think a lot of people on their toes as to where Nick was headed. But you know, I mean, as an actor, you know, your job is to just justify, you know, what you're given. And mm-hmm. so to me, it was just a constant kind of interesting challenge. And I guess I'll consider myself lucky because I think a lot of daytime characters, you know, not just on days, but kind of fall into, you know, either good or bad or, mm-hmm. or kind of like a simple character trope. And
right.
to me, Nick has kind of always been not, you know, defined by a simple trope. He's been always very complex
mm-hmm.
and interesting. And that to me is stuff that, you know, that's material that interests me.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's no matter whatever Nick got himself involved in, I always cheered for him. You know, I always cheered for Nick no matter what he did. You could tell he kind of had this goodness about him.
Yeah.
But he went dark a lot, but you still liked him. So that's
Thank
really
difficult
to do.
Thank you very much for saying that. Yeah, I find that like an important thing to do as an actor is, you know, whenever somebody does something bad, you know, you as an actor can't judge the character. You know, you've got to figure out why
right.
they're doing it and make them come from a place of, you know, some type of conviction, you know.
Mhm. Right. I think I'm having little flashbacks of Nick right now and thinking, I remember, didn't he have some sort of cute bar trick or something that he did that he won Chelsea over with or something? It seemed like early
yeah,
on,
yeah,
something
yeah,
that
was
really...
I think on the first or second episode I did,
yes,
there was
a
trick with an olive using, like, centripetal force or something.
Yes, yes. he sealed his nerd fate right there. No, but it was great. Yeah, I just had a flashback of that, and it was so cute. I just loved that. And then I also didn't. I'm thinking. Of course, I'm a big Kate fan, Lauren Cosley fan.
Oh yeah,
and
me too.
I think I remember you saying you wish you could work with her more and stuff.
I love
I
Lauren.
Her,
yeah, I think she's
bribing
great.
Bribing your DNA, bribing the DNA results and all that. I think I remember some switcheroos
uh-huh.
going on there that Nick was involved in. So do you get to, have you got? I mean, without giving anything away, have you gotten to work with her yet since your return, or has it mostly been other characters or?
No, I haven't. I have not done any work with Lauren yet. But I wouldn't put it out of the question.
Oh, good. Mm. All right. Ooh. Yeah, I can see. Oh, she's great. And I would love to see that. I'd love to see some Nick and Kate scenes.
Kate's single too. So there you go.
What's that?
That's right.
Kate's single, and she likes him younger.
There you go.
Hey,
yeah.
I'd be down for it. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Oh,
Chris,
boy. You could be part of the doctor. You could be part of the Dr. Dan trifecta of the Roberts family.
Exactly. That would also have. I would have been, involved with three generations of.
Exactly. That's yeah. We're kind of worried Dan said it that way right now, too. So, yeah, exactly. So, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing that. That would be cool. being silly, but I think that would be cool.
Yes, Kate and Nick have kicked. We'll start the kicking in the wagon.
Well, I'm trying to think. Wasn't he involved? This is going back quite a ways, but since I brought it up, the DNA switching and stuff.
Yeah.
Was he involved with the DNA with the twins, with the Demira, the Lucas, EJ, one of each?
I think
twins?
That
yeah.
was it, if I remember correctly, yeah.
Ooh, so see, that would
wait
be
a minute, plus. Wait a minute. Or was it the DNA from the hairbrush? I think I was involved
was
in both, to be honest.
It was
yeah.
both. Yeah.
You were like the go-to DNA guy there for a while.
DNA guy.
In the lab. You worked in the
DNA
lab
guy.
Or something.
Yeah,
there
totally.
You go. So that would be an interesting twist, too. Let's see if the writers are listening. That would be kind of fun. All right, so I'm sorry. This says, forgive my flashbacks here, but I was like having these moments of, I remember Nick and this. Good times. And you were
yeah.
Oh,
being
the...
Yeah, being the DNA guy in Salem is a pretty steady gig.
It's a steady gig. There's always more DNA to be tested, more evidence,
Switch.
The forensic scene in Salem is never wanting.
It takes 3.5 DNA test results in order to come up with the actual father of the child. By that time, we've worked it out by the third time, three years.
My Nick flashback was, I think, was very early on when Nick came out with mismatched clothes and mortified Abby Devereaux, his cousin. That was my one of the first one that popped into my mind was.
I think
and
that
from
was
the
first.
Beginning,
yeah, that was the first episode.
Yeah. I mean, from the
I
beginning,
come downstairs
I liked
at
you.
Aunt Maggie's house. Yeah, and Abby's, mortified. And then we all go out, and that's where I meet Chelsea, is at the bar where I do the bar trick.
Yeah. It is so memorable. I mean, and that's attributed to you, because a lot of actors or characters come to the show, and you don't remember their first episode. You don't remember what they did. I mean, I remember you in Maggie's house wearing plaid, mismatched plaid, like a 70s leisure suit. It was pretty bad. But I remember.
Totally. Yeah.
You've,
pretty bad.
You've been doing a lot of work since Days. In your movie, Meth Head. I watched a trailer for it. It was anybody can watch it. It's on the. You go to the IMDb. You go to Blake's IMDb file. You'll see the Meth Head trailer. That's a pretty heavy movie. How'd you like doing that?
I loved it. It's an incredible story, and was a really really powerful artistic experience for me. And the cast that I worked with. On the movie, and the director Jane Clark just all were so talented and brought such sensitivity to really important subject matter. Meth as a drug has just kind of become one of the biggest epidemics in the world and definitely the country. And what I like about this movie though is it really humanizes it, and it's not. It's not didactic. It's just an incredible story. It's almost like Kyle, who's played by Lucas Haas, who's an incredible actor. It's kind of torn between two families, which is the family his family and his boyfriend and his father and then his sister. and the kind of new family that he creates with me and an actress named Nakar Zadigan. And we kind of have this, you know, drug friendship family. And both, but I think both worlds are really, you know, it's not like we're bad and they're good. It's
right.
You know, I mean, we really love each other. And we're, I mean, yes, right. We're kind of brought together through this, really awful drug. But you know, there's a lot of good times that we share. And it's a really just sensitive, beautiful piece, just some incredible acting all around. The whole cast is really incredible.
Well, you know, and it's I haven't seen the film, but I would imagine based on what you're saying that, I mean, it's true of a lot of addictions or addictive behaviors or whatever. I mean, I think it's not just the drug; it's the people you find that, for better or worse, that you find that are connected to that life or that whatever. You know, obviously,
yeah.
There's a pool there. Maybe. Lack of it in your own life, or maybe there, maybe not a lack, I don't know, but it fills some void, or else it wouldn't be as powerful as it is, you know, because it's not just about getting rid of, because a lot of times people go through rehab, and I haven't personally done that, but, you know, people go through rehab, and you hear they go back into their old environment, and they get sucked back in, but it's those friends, associations, connections, those feelings that surround those relationships that first draw them back, and then the addiction hits again when they, you know, start using again.
I think you're right on. I know people who've been, you know, in and out of rehab, and, you know, people who've recovered. And I think, you know, one of the things is that the drug, you know, gives you this kind of sense of security and confidence that many people don't, you know, you don't feel naturally.
Right.
And when you first do it, it gives you kind of this heightened sense of self that is hard to leave behind. So I think that's why it's so, I mean, especially meth, you know, it's like, I think the statistic is crazy. It's something like, you know, 6% of people recover from meth addiction.
Wow.
What's the percentage?
6%. I think I could be off, but I'm pretty sure it's 6%
of
people are able to recover from a meth addiction.
Wow.
It's that intense. Yeah, it really is kind of a death grip on people.
Wow. Is it because
especially,
of all that?
Especially teenagers and it's something. It's a bad one, you know.
Yeah, well, people get lulled into it because a lot of times it's just a pill. They think, oh, I'm just taking a pill. But there's household chemicals in it. It freaks me out why someone would take it. If you're, you know, basically taking stuff out of your kitchen sink, that crap.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that what makes everybody... to start it, to begin with, you know.
Yeah, I mean, people are blowing up their houses trying to make this stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
It's nuts, yeah. It's totally nuts. What's funny is that it seems like after I did meth head, like, I ended up doing, like, kind of a series of roles as drug addicts. It may have actually started with days. I went dark on days, you know, I did that. And I think, you know, Nick was even addicted to pills and stuff right at the end there.
He was.
And then I ended up playing another meth addict on Breaking Bad, which, you know, like in meth head, I was joking with some people, like on meth head, I think we had like a meth meter that we were dealing with, you know, as we were shooting, of like how many days is this person tweaking. You know, because the behavior changes, you know, after staying up for one night or two nights or three nights or four nights or five nights, you know. And so, and, you know, it's like the first night you're having fun, you're flying high, you know, the second night you're a little worse for the wear, but still kind of, you know, the dream is still alive. And probably by day three it starts getting, like, you know, really, really, really dark, and then, you know, by four you start becoming a zombie. And then when I did Breaking Bad, I mean, for, you know, for people who've seen it, like, it was like 2.5 hours in makeup. Like, if I went to, like, you know, 11
wow.
on the 1-3-10 meter during Methed, I took it to like 17 on Breaking Bad.
Wow.
That character is, you know, like knocking on death's door for sure. But yeah, I did that, and then I ended up what was the other one? On Prime Suspect, I was playing a drug dealer. So it's funny. It was kind of my onslaught of
And you were so innocent when you came to Salem. Look what Salem does to people.
I know. It really
does. One way track to hell.
I know. I know.
Oh,
tragic.
Let's hope Nick stays away from the drugs in Salem this time.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is there a release date for Meth Head?
There's not a release date. We're waiting. The way these kind of independent films work is that, you know, you have to be really careful about where you premiere your film. So we're waiting. I think right now we're waiting to hear from the Toronto Film Festival.
Cool.
And so once you get you premiere it, then your film, the buyers, you know, and the distributors have an opportunity to buy the
distribution
film.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but you have to wait.
The business end.
Yeah, if you guys get in, make sure you tweet about that, because there are a lot of Days fans in Canada, and they'll go see it.
Oh
yeah.
That's awesome.
Definitely Toronto, yeah.
Especially Toronto.
Yeah.
There's a ton, yeah.
That's a great idea. Are they up to date there too. In Canada?
I'm sorry?
Are they up to date in Canada? Are they up to date? Like, I know Australia is
a
couple years
behind. They're actually a day ahead. They have Global.
Oh.
The Global TV has a contract where they actually air a day ahead of us. There are people that do the day ahead tweets, like Dave's Cafe and such, that do the day ahead to tell us what we're going to see the next day. So they're actually ahead. So they're basically on time, yeah. So they'll be seeing you. You might be keyed into that, because they'll get to see you before we will here in the States.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah,
well, maybe
and I
by
know
the time
Kate,
I air, I'll have news on Meth Head or my other film, The House of Last Things, about where we're scheduled to premiere.
Awesome. Yeah, let us know and we'll spread the word. Fans will come. The Toronto fans
certainly
are amazing.
Will. Yeah. I'm really excited about both of these projects, so they're definitely things that I will I'll want people to know about once we have something to announce.
Okay. All right, let me get a caller on, if I can get my computer to work. There we go. Hi, Angela. You're on with Blake.
Hi there. Blake,
hi,
Angela. So nice to talk to you. I want you to know that I'm just thrilled that you've come back today. You're really one of my very, very favorite best younger actors that they've ever had on the show. And I've watched
Thank
the show
you
a
so
long,
much,
long
Angela.
Time.
How long have you been watching?
Probably about 39 years. I'm 40. And so I started watching it when I was about 8 years old with my grandmother. So I've seen a lot of stories, but I think you just really, really nailed Nick. And again, it was such a layered character. I was glad what you were saying earlier about just, you know, all the different things that he got to do while he was there. And one of my questions, I have two, and they're really not really related at all. But one is just, as an actor, as you're starting to develop, that character objective. And like when you first started with Nick, obviously, he was, a little geeky and awkward and inexperienced. And before he met Nick, got involved with Billy and Chelsea and so forth. And then obviously the story really, really did evolve quite a bit. I can't remember quite if we had a writing change during the time that you were there before. But obviously there were a lot of changes as to the character of Nick and what he got involved with. How do you as an actor approach that? Because I'm sure you come up with some type of objective at the beginning, and then all of a sudden the writing has really changed and your scenario has really changed. How do you really make that seamless? Because I think we all really we love the character of Nick. We followed him right on through whatever he was going through.
You know, that's a really good question, Angela. Especially with the way it works in the daytime format, which is that, you know, you don't really get that much of a sneak peek as to what's going to happen to your character, you know, past what past the scripts that they give you. You know, something I try to do is I have my kind of super objective, which is like, you know, I think like the bigger storyline that I think the character is dealing with, and that's just something I, you know, decide on my own. Like maybe it's, you know, redemption, or maybe it's, you know, whatever. It's like this character's, you know, working on, because I think we all do that for ourselves. We're like, you know, this is what I'm doing right now in general. And then there's those things in life, you know, that you just deal with on a case-by-case basis, which is, you know, I'm going to the supermarket and I'm here to buy groceries, or I'm calling this person and I want to apologize, or whatever the thing is that you want to do immediately, which can, you know, may or may not be tied in with the kind of bigger thing. And that's kind of how I approach, you know, the scene to scene, episode to episode is, you know, you just have, you know, this is what this character wants right now. And if you start noticing your character kind of going off track, you know, and finding like or trending toward a different super objective, you know, people do that too, right?
Mm-hmm, true.
You know, like, you know, people, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, maybe your priority changes and, you know, you may have wanted to be in rehab, but now you're, you know, drugs become more important to you. Like, you know, the character that I was playing in Method, we were just talking about. So yeah, you know, you just kind of, just like life, I mean, you got to roll with the punches. But yeah, that's basically, it does keep you on your toes though, but what's nice about the daytime format is that you're almost experiencing it, you know, in real time with your characters. So, you know, you get the script and you memorize it for the next day, or, you know, maybe the week if you're lucky. You know, the next script you get, you're like, what happens to me next?
You really have done a great job with it, and it has been a real hope to see you come back to the show, so I'm really excited that you are.
Thank you so much, Angela.
I had another question, and I don't really – it's been a while since, obviously, all of this aired, but I know that, you know, Roscoe Bourne came on Days to play Trent Robbins. And he's an excellent actor. I mean, a very experienced actor. I mean, do you have any recollections as far as things that, you know, opportunities that you got to work with him, or just, you know, highlights from, you know, any of the really experienced actors that you've had a chance to work with, some of the things that you've really taken away and tried to incorporate into your work?
Interesting. You know, I had a great time. Me and Roscoe had a great time working together, and, you know, I always felt like, you know, it was great to collaborate with him. I wouldn't say we talked a ton of shop, but, you know, I think I learned the most from watching, and I remember watching a scene on set last time I was on the show, between Lauren Coslow and what is that guy's name? I remember he was on Sopranos, and he came on, and I think he was playing some type of Demira.
Oh, I can't remember his name either.
Joe Penny? Joe Penny,
yes,
Joe Penny. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
And I just remember watching, it was so, I was so really moved by the scene. It was a really simple scene where they were kind of flirting, but there was something nostalgic about it. And I was really moved by it because they were just, it was so effortless and so real, you know, just
watching
them. I
know exactly which one you're talking about. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was just beautiful work. Like, both of them were just, you could just tell, you know, they were really, you know, actors who knew what they were doing and getting out of the way of the material and just, you know, being there in the moment. And I remember just being like, you know, that's what this is about, and that's, you know, how good this material can be. Aww. But, you know, I mean, yeah, like, I, you know, I'm having such a good time. I've been working with, you know, Suzanne Rogers, who plays Aunt Maggie.
Oh, yes.
And she's, you know, so incredible and so emotionally available. And I have such, you know, there's certain people who you just learn from being with them. You know, it's like, you're, you know, she's just somebody who, when she's right in front of you and you're looking into her eyes and you're talking to her, you just, you know, you're there. You feel really, you know, certain people just kind of pull you in, and it's been really incredible to work. There's so many good actors, you know, in that I've gotten to work with on days.
When you were on Breaking Bad, did you have scenes with Bryan Cranston?
No, my scenes were with Aaron Paul.
Okay. But that must have been interesting. I mean, those shows are shot so differently, say, from this, you know, a soap like Days. How long does, you know, like, you know, for shooting one episode of Breaking Bad, how long do you have to shoot that versus what you would normally
usually,
do?
Usually, you know, usually the prime time. Breaking Bad, I think it takes them 10 days to film an episode. I was only out in Albuquerque for, I think, 4. But I think they go quite slowly, and you know, I think like Big Bang Theory, when I did it, that was a week. Usually it's a week to shoot an episode, but some of the other shows will take longer. I know Breaking Bad really takes their time.
So it's
definitely a different pace. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about more comedic work? Because again, especially when you first came on the scene with Nick, you know, there was, you know, a lot of comedic pieces to his personality, and have you continued to pursue that? Obviously, you've been pursuing being, you know, getting all these drug addict roles recently.
but as far as
comedic training and that type of thing, have you continued to pursue that, or is that a part of?
Well, I had the opportunity to work on The Big Bang Theory, and I'd never worked on a three-camera sitcom before, which is a totally, you know, different world. But I had a ton of fun doing it. And, you know, Chuck Lorre, who created it, is really a genius and has created, you know, such a lot of incredible shows. And it's a whole different world. And, you know, my background is theater. And so I always approach things from the position of trying to, you know, just breathe life into it and make it true. But, you know, I grew up watching, you know, I loved Seinfeld and I loved Friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love comedy. I would love to continue. I'd love to, you know, do like a sitcom after Days. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think that, you know, it's a lot of fun. I like the balance, you know, I like to kind of do both. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what's fun about Nick is, you know, you kind of do get to do both.
Well, we mentioned earlier about working with Julie Pinson as Billy, and I remember when that storyline first, you know, we read the previews or the spoilers that was coming out, and I just went, oh, I'm so sure that, you know, Nick is just too innocent. This is just terrible. But, of course, we got to see the show, and I loved it, and it's very memorable, and a lot of people remember specifically that storyline. What was your thought when found out about it?
What was that?
What was your thought when they first approached you with the storyline?
Oh, my God. I was so excited. I mean, it was my first, like, you know, I was just like a kid, you know, like I just finished college and, you know, Julie Pinson is you know, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. And I just, you know, I've always like loved the movie The Graduate. I just thought that was a great film, and that was definitely, you know, I think inspiration for me in looking at that and approaching that material. And I just thought it was great, you know, like, because I didn't know where they were going to take Nick. And when I found out I was going into that, I was like, yeah, you know, like, that's interesting. That's cool.
Hello. You've done a great job, and I think we're all tempted to want to ask you a lot of questions about what's going to happen when Nick comes on the show, but I know we'll have to just wait and see. Maybe you can come back and talk with us again and tell us when we can talk more about what's on with him. But, again, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely, Angela.
Take care.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks.
I have to say, though, as a Chick fan, when I remember reading the spoilers about Nick and Billy, I was devastated. I was like, no! It seemed like it was so out of left field. So it's not like Nick and Billy really didn't flirt or anything.
I forgot about the chick name, the chick couple name, Chelsea and Nick. I forgot about that.
I mean, that was the most of it, you know? I mean, really, it was Chick for 2 years, and then it was really just kind of towards the end where it became Melanie.
Yeah.
That's right. Premier party girl.
Exactly. Well, you know, count on Nick to go for, to look for bad news. He'll find it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where, who he pairs up with in Salem this summer.
Yeah, this will be very interesting.
Okay, let me bring on another caller here. And we have Taylin.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Taylin.
Hi.
Hey,
Blake, I just wanted to tell you how thrilled I am that you're returning. I mean, this is something that we've been talking about for years, hoping that you would come back. And we are super excited about the news. When it broke, I think much of the Days community just, was really, really happy about that. You were...
That's so cool.
You were and are a character that came and just kind of took Salem by storm. I mean, I think everyone just fell in love with you, and that happens very rarely. You don't see that very often on Days anymore.
Thank you so much. That's a really nice thing to say.
You're welcome. You earned it. So, anyway, I know you can't say a lot about your storyline and your plans or anything like that. Of course, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there that this is a short stint, and I know you probably can't say, and I totally respect that. I just want you to know that I hope it isn't. Because the show needs you. We need you. The viewers need you. And I really hope you're going to stick around for a while. And I just want you to know that we will appreciate it if you do.
Thank you so much, Helen.
You bet. And I'm not going to keep you long because I'm sure that there's lots of other questions. I just wanted to express my joy at your return.
Thank you so much.
Let you know that we are really, really looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see what they have in store for you.
Yeah, me too. I'm
hope
excited.
They keep you in character.
I'll tell you this: like so far, I have no objections. You know, so far, it's all been really. It seems very realistic to me.
That's great. That's great to hear because so many people have gone out of character, and it's very upsetting for long-term fans to see that.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I hope to see the Nick that we all fell in love with, and see a lot of him.
Well, I think you will, but I think he'll also kind of keep you on your toes.
That's good. I love to be kept on my toes. I want that. I want you to have an edge, and I want you to have, you know, a little bit of mystery and edge to you. I think that that's really cool because you're not the young boy that you were when you first arrived. You've had a lot of growing.
Exactly.
And so I totally welcome that. But at the same time, I hope that, you know, you also at heart are, you know, who Nick is, you know.
Yeah. No, I think you'll be really happy with where it's going.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
So welcome back.
Thank you very much.
That's pretty much all I have to say, and I look forward to seeing you in the future.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Taylor. Eva. Thanks for putting me on. All right.
Thanks for calling on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I got to say, with your the announcement of your return, I'm trying to find the right word for it. Everybody was just thrilled, and all the soap press was thrilled, and it was just uniform, like, wow, we're finally getting an excellent actor back on the show.
Thanks so much.
In that age group, you know, in that age group, it's always kind of hard. You know, you have new actors coming on, you know, their first soap, and they're just trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. And just to grab everybody's attention like that on the very first episode is Nick. And to keep it for all those years, I mean, it says a lot. And I think, to be truth, I think you should definitely should have won the Emmy that year. You were nominated.
Oh, thanks so much. But you know what? Darren did some incredible work that year, and you wanna win, but since I didn't get it, I was really happy to see it go to Darren.
Aww.
Because he's a really good actor and a good friend and
aww.
Somebody that yeah, no, I mean I'm definitely happy to see it go to
gracious
him.
Of you.
Yeah, I saw one of the other interviews you said you're still in touch with Rachel Melvin. Are you in touch with anybody else?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, no, we hang out.
Good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's doing great. She has a bunch of good stuff coming up, I think. Yeah, she's doing great.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think she's on like Nickelodeon or I can't remember if it's Nickelodeon or Disney Channel. I see her pop up every once in a while.
Yeah, she just did an episode of I think it was Good Luck Charlie. And I think she just did a couple independent films. And and she had some big interest from a lot of network pilots. She came really close on some big pilots this year. And
okay.
That people don't forget that stuff. So, I would expect to see her in some stuff soon.
Oh, good. Yeah, she's a neat girl.
Yeah, she's such a good actress.
Well, it's good to hear she's doing well. Yeah, you're right. Maybe next cycle through, that something will hit for her on the pilot season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people go so many times, you can...
Oh, yeah.
It takes a long time to, build the... it's confidence. People have to get used to you, so...
Yeah. I was going to ask you, and I saw, and you can't always believe what you see online, but I saw where your dad is a director and your mom's a writer. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So you grew up in a very nurturing environment for the kind of thing that what you've gone into. Then, do you do any writing yourself or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I just this year started writing, about a year ago. I have a writing partner, and we wrote a script. And it's actually pretty exciting. We have a bunch of people who are showing a lot of interest in kind of moving forward, with this project that we wrote. The film is called This Shining City, and it's a story kind of, I guess a lot of people have kind of compared it to Crash and Do the Right Thing. It's kind of it's a drama, but it's kind of a panoramic story of this, this city that's it deals with kind of extremism and how some people turn to political extremism or emotional extremism and end up kind of betraying people that they love, and it's something that we put a lot of work into, and I'm excited to kind of start the process of going into production.
Wow, that's cool. I always love hearing things like that, and the creative process and everything. And did you, obviously you pick up things from your parents and everything, but like, is there anything that they, like, something specific? I mean, I know that you just absorb things as, being around your parents, but I was just curious if either of them or both of them or whatever gave you like a piece of advice as far as the business goes that has, helped you or that you think kind of steered you in the right direction or whatever. There's probably a lot of things they've said, but I'm just curious.
Well, I think the overarching thing for anyone who decides to get involved in this crazy business I think that, anybody who has a dream to do something creative, it's really brave. It's like the older I get, it always was something that I wanted to do, and And now when I see, like, young kids doing it, I'm like, wow, like, that's so brave to be doing
right.
it. And I what I will say is that my parents just were always incredibly supportive.
That's great.
And, you know, just always, you know, supported that, you know, what I wanted to do. You know, even, you know, kind of knowing full well that, you know, the business that I was going into is, you know, one of
right.
the hardest ones to kind of crack. But, yeah, they've been unbelievably supportive and incredible. And, you know, for people that are thinking of going into it, you know, I think that support is necessary. So,
right.
you know, if you're not getting it from your parents, then, you know, you sometimes have to find it in yourself. And I think that's, you know, even more incredible.
Right. Wow. Well, that's neat. That's great that they nurtured that in you and in their home and as you're, you know, that you were raised in a safe environment for that kind of thing. So that's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, the apple wasn't falling too far from the tree, so it wasn't like, you know, the craziest thing in the world. That
right,
I told
right.
them.
They
yeah,
understood
like
it, but yeah, probably more than a lot of people knew just how hard it was, you know, but
yeah,
at the
exactly.
same time also understood that that wasn't going to stop you, you know, necessarily. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
knowing that it was difficult wasn't going to be, you know, a deal breaker there. But
right,
but that's,
right.
that's neat. That's, so were you in a lot of plays as a kid and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah. I've been doing plays, I think, like, what was it? I think my first, like, real play, I remember in sixth grade, the school, my elementary school had, like, you know, the sixth grade play. And I the one that they chose for our class was Peter Pan, and I was like dead set on being Captain Hook, and I wanted it so bad. Like, I always loved playing bad guys, and so I was super. And then when the casting came out, they cast me as Peter Pan, and I was devastated, like totally.
You were tight.
Yeah, I was like, that's a girl part. What are you talking about? anyway, but it ended up being awesome. And so, yeah, I started there, and, like, I just remember the response that, like, people had. Like, I was like, okay, so maybe, you know, I'm not crazy in wanting to pursue this. And, yeah, I did a lot of plays in high school and community theater, and then, you know, studied it more formally when I went to UCLA.
And you did well, and that's another important thing. You got your education too. I mean, you know, you didn't just. I mean, not if there's anything wrong with just going out and doing it, but you know, you went and studied and got a degree, and from what
yeah,
I read,
that was something
you got
I was,
it like.
Yeah, I did. I graduated early. Yeah, that was something
yeah,
that was always important to me. Was to go to college and do that. You know, it's. I mean, I'm so glad I did it because, I mean, I've met such an incredible community of people and, you know, had, you know, just a, you know, hugely kind of intellectually enlightening experience there.
Sure.
But I will say that, you know, in the entertainment business, especially in, you know, in Los Angeles, like it's, I think it's a commodity to me personally and,
right.
But it's not necessarily valued. You know, it's like
right.
if I had spent those years, you know, if I dropped out of high school and moved to LA,
right.
like I might be more successful. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like for my personal development, it was crucial, and I think in the long run, we'll get you know gave me the skill set and the mindset to have like a long enduring career.
Right,
but
right.
I also understand, you know, the temptation
sure.
in this business to kind of get out there and start and just do it, you know.
Sure. Oh, that's great though. But that's you did it. You did it fast. Got through in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean that was one thing, and I also chose UCLA because I know that I'd be able to start auditioning and
right.
working a bit, and I think that
right.
that was really.
That was a great fit. Your family was there. You're still near your family and everything. So
yeah, it really was. Yeah. Yeah, and now I've, I mean, I really have, I'm a total, like, I've fallen in love with Los Angeles. I think it's an incredible city. A lot of people hate on it, but I love it.
I love visiting. I don't like the freeways. I mean, I don't like the traffic, but
oh yeah, well you learn the
yeah.
secret route.
The back ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring on another caller. I can get the computer working.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
What was that? Uh oh.
And some Rose,
that
you there?
That must be me. Sorry.
That's okay.
Patrick Muldoon didn't send me the W-2 yet, or W-4. I was just closing up the gate. Sorry.
That's okay, hon.
So, anyway, I just, first of all, wanted to say hi.
Hey.
It's nice to talk to you.
Very nice to talk to you.
And I know I had a few questions for you,
mm-hmm.
Such as, have you ever dabbled in music?
I have. What makes you ask?
Just curious.
Just curious. I sang a lot growing up. And in high school, got cast in musicals and stuff. And recently have found myself, like, a lot of I had, like, a band with some friends at a certain point a few years ago, totally just for fun. But kind of since then, I started going in, you know, for auditions to play. I go in to play musicians a lot. And have kind of come close on a lot of roles. And I have a feeling it's going to kind of end up coming full circle. So we'll see. It's not something that I am pursuing at all. But I think I'll get to exercise that muscle for a role at some point.
Okay. How awesome. And do you play a musical instrument or just sing?
No, just singing. Yeah, just singing. One of my best friends is an opera singer at the Met, and I think like through and my girlfriend's actually also a singer, and so I think like through proxy, I like the art of singing and the instruments of the voice is something that I find really cool.
Awesome, and. Another question then is not related, but do you have any pets?
Nope.
Nope. Do you love certain animals?
You know, I mean, I love dogs. I love cats. I grew up with both. My parents have them at their place in Santa Barbara. I'm really enjoying the lifestyle of having nothing to totally be accountable for. I can leave for a week and leave my apartment. My plants will be okay. I can't do the pet. I'll probably have kids and pets later.
I was going to say, I guess that leaves kids out of the question.
For now, yeah.
No, for now, yes. No, I knew that. And I don't know if it's been touched, but how did you get into acting?
I can't remember a time where I didn't want to be an actor. I really think I told my parents when I was like two. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, they were kind of like, all right, like, you know, whatever, you know, kids are, you know, talk a lot of bullshit. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that here. They're like, oh, and then next week you'll want to be an astronaut or whatever. But it stuck. I really kind of stuck to my guns on that one.
And did you go to school for it? Or
yeah, I studied theater. Yeah, I studied acting and I studied theater at UCLA. And growing up, I did a lot of plays and stuff all the way through school, And theater is definitely something I also, you know, when the time is right, I think is something that I very much want to do again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific genre that you prefer? I know you did The Breaking Bad here in New Mexico. Do you prefer the faster pace of soaps versus?
God, you know, I think my personality is I love new stimulation and I always love a new challenge. So, you know, I think it's like between independent films and primetime TV and soaps, like they all work so differently, and I think there's, you know, magic can happen in all of them in different ways. So I don't think I'd ever want to commit to, you know, one thing for the rest of my life. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, I miss theater. I miss that live experience. But there's also something about film and television that, you know, there's nuances that you can catch that theater, you know, be just by virtue of the fact of how far away you are from the actors that you don't get. But I love it all. I don't think I'd ever want to do one thing for the rest of my life. I love comedy. I love drama. And I think to me, the magic is in just kind of keeping it fresh and keeping it all alive and doing a bunch of different stuff.
Okay. And just one last little question. Do you have any specific charities or outreach programs that you're involved in or would like to be involved in?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to set something up with Days right now. I'm involved in an organization downtown Los Angeles called Homeboy Industries, which is a gang rehabilitation center, and actually I think the most effective one in the country. Basically, it's a place for people who, either have been in gangs or they've been in jail, a place that helps them, kind of turn their lives around and becoming, you know, kind of active members of society in a really positive way. They have, you know, tattoo removal there, and they try and set you up, set them up with jobs. They have this incredible thing called the Homeboy Cafe downtown LA, and a lot of them work there. And anyway, it's an incredible program, and I was talking with Simplicity because, you know, there's something about, you know, the storyline that I'm doing on Days right now, which, you know, there's a parallel there. Just with, you know, with Nick being in jail and wanting to redeem himself, that I think could be interesting. And anyway, but that's you know, I think the correctional system and, you know, it's something that I'm passionate about, and I think that, you know, is a big is really problematic in our country, and that's an organization that I've been working with through my aunt who works there, that I'm pretty passionate about.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you. I look forward to your return. I can't wait to see what new adventures he's going to have.
Embark on, yeah.
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 And it was really nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.
Thanks, Rose.
Thanks.
Good night.
Okay, I just want to wrap it up. Would you like to discuss House of Last Things and what that movie is about?
Well, yeah, just real quickly, I guess we shot the film in Portland, Oregon, and it was funny. I worked with RJ Mitty, who's one of the leads on Breaking Bad. He plays Bryan Cranston's son, on the show, and he's one of the leads in House of Last Things as well. And Lindsay Hahn, who's on True Blood. And it's a really interesting film. It's a scary film. And basically, I mean, I had an incredible role in it because basically kind of what happened is me and Lindsay, our characters, move into this house, our kind of house sitting, and I start out as this kind of Portland trash, kind of good-for-nothing dude who just wants to, like, have sex and do drugs and, like, you know, drink and steal shit from the house. And then slowly the house starts transforming us into the previous owners of the house. So, yeah, and the guy who I'm kind of turning into is, like, Portland opera critic. So anyway, it's an incredible role because I really got to craft, you know, a transformation. So it's really cool. And we actually just, we were one of four films chosen to have our pre-premiere at a festival in Paris. That's actually this week.
Wow.
It's called the Champs-Élysées Film Festival. And yeah, we're hoping it's going to lead to an exciting European premiere, maybe at Venice or Berlin or, you know, we'll see.
Very
wow,
cool.
That's fascinating. That's a really different plot, too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool film. It's very original. This guy, Michael Bartlett, who directed it, is really an interesting director and has a really unique voice and style. And, yeah, I'm really excited to see where the film takes us.
Hey, yeah, that sounds really fascinating. And, you know, just as a Dave fan, I mean, I don't think anybody's surprised that you've been so successful after your last set of days with all these primetime spots you did. I mean, we only touched on a couple of them. When my son saw that you were on the Big Bang Theory, he was thrilled. He's like, that's just so funny. That's a funny show.
It is.
Mom.
It's such a funny show. Yeah, it's a great show. It's a
and
great
you
show.
Were the Mentalist, too, and all these movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I was going to mention real quick because I don't think that her name's Oh My Jewels on Twitter. She's in Canada. I don't think she got a chance. At least I didn't hear her call in. Her name's Julie. Anyway, I know she would want me to say hello for you, for her.
Oh, tell
she
Julie
saying hello
hi
from
me.
Canada. So,
oh, Julie from Canada, hello. And we're sorry we missed her.
Oh, thanks for that. I know she'll be thrilled to hear it. But anyway, well, you've been such a delight. It's so fun to talk with you, and we're so
you guys
excited.
Are great. Yeah, I'd love to come back on, you know, once we're airing.
Wonderful. Definitely. Well, we'll definitely do that then, because then you'll be able to spill even more. Well, I can't spill much of anything but on the show, but you'll be able to spill a little bit.
Cool.
And I was going to mention you have your fan page, a Facebook fan page.
I'm on Twitter, and I have a page, an actor page on Facebook, and yeah, check it out. You can see the trailers to Method and the House of Last Things there, and a bunch of photos from the films and other projects that I've been doing, and
And Carrie will link this interview on there, too, so that your fans there can see it. So,
perfect.
Well, great. Well, this has been so nice.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you guys so much.
And to follow Blake on Twitter also at Blake Barris. So make sure you do that.
Yes, yeah, at Blake Barris, yeah.
All right, well, take care. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you, guys. Get a good
night.
Bye. Bye.